Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1, listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I have such a great program ready for you guys. So today I'm going to be interviewing Courtney Woods, who is an amazing young woman from Michigan coming to the New England area for fellowship. And today you're going to be hearing all about her campaign and what she plans on doing when she gets here. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Marie. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for being on the show. I was telling everyone how excited I am that you're able to join us to tell us all about your campaign and so many adventures to come. So a lot of people may not know about the campaign that's happening, but I wanted to give them a chance to get to know you a little bit and let them know where you are right now and what you're planning to do probably the next week, right? By next weekend, you'll be in Cambridge. So that's a lot. So let's start. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been up to since graduating college in May.
So my name is Courtney Woods. I earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in Interdisciplinary Studies in Social Science, concentrating in community governance and advocacy with the political science cognate. I also had a philosophy and law minor. I just recently graduated from Michigan State University, so I'm a Spartan. I am going to be traveling to Harvard for a fellowship on Friday, September 25th. I started a Sea Woods to Harvard campaign in order to raise the funds necessary for my relocation. So one of the questions that Marie asked me is why I started this campaign. I was a little reluctant because I never wanted to seem as if I was asking people for support. But what I found is that through this campaign, I've earned so much positivity from the people around me who have come to help me and spread so much positivity and positive gestures. One thing that I would say is that coming from Michigan and moving to the Boston area, there's a definite difference in cost of living expenses. And with me starting the fellowship, it is a paid fellowship, so I will earn the cost of living. But for the first month, I won't be earning anything. So I was raising funds in order to help me relocate, additionally to help me sustain that cost of living for the first month there before I was receiving my first paycheck.
I mean, I think that's a great initiative, you know, to be able to do that and plan ahead, because a lot of time, that's a big thing going on right now in terms of student debts and not being able to sort of handle all those financial responsibilities and with everything happening. And so, I mean, I think it was a great, you know, it's very creative. A lot of people are doing the Kickstarter, and I love it. And that's one of the reasons I even find out about it. But also, you know, the fact that people are connecting from, like, all over the world. So Michelle,
right,
I was also in Michigan, but we went to school in Boston together at Simmons. Okay. So she posted something, and I'm just like, oh, what is that? And so that's how I found out about it, because I went and I checked out your page, and I'm like, that's really interesting. And that's how we got started. So I think it's, you know, the word, you know, the campaign is really going around, and I'm glad people are really getting on board and supporting you and making sure the first month and beyond goes somewhat smoothly with planning and a good support system in a new city. So what are you nervous about? Because moving to a new place is nervous as it is. So it's right, for educational purposes, but sort of what are you looking forward to, and what do you feel like you're still saying, oh my God, about that you feel you need support around?
Well, I am moving to a new place where I don't know anyone yet. I've never been in the Boston area before, so I'm unsure about what to expect. I am grateful, though, because a lot of my mentors in Michigan State reached out to their colleagues in Boston in the Cambridge area, and many of them have reached out to me and asked me to go to lunch and go to dinner. I've reached out to the Boston Spartan Alumni Association, and I made some connections there. I'm looking forward to meeting the students, getting engaged in student activities, getting engaged in the community. I'm a a senior organizer. I'm very active in the community here in Greater Lansing. So that's probably, I think that would probably be the most enriching experience, is actually interacting with the students.
So that part is really you looking forward to. You know, but at the same time, we were talking earlier about just, you know, just being so overwhelmed, just like coming and all this stuff going on.
Right.
But at the same time, what has been surprising to you about the campaign itself? Because it's one thing to sort of take that leap and say, okay, I'm going to get some support and resources. But what surprised you after you created the profile and, you know, the people that are now sort of supporting you?
Well, honestly, I was surprised by how many people reached out to me who never met me before. I was surprised that so many people were sharing it who haven't actually had, I haven't had the pleasure of interacting with them before. The positive messages, I can't even express how overwhelmed with gratitude that I was with how many people who sent me messages and who wrote on my wall and who shared the post and said, this is something worth investing in. This is something that other people should be willing to give to help happen. I think that even the fact that I'm talking to you right now is a gesture of support. And I haven't necessarily had that support prior to coming to Michigan State University from community members. So to build a community of people that I don't know online, virtually, who believe in my dream and believe in my capacity to accomplish my goals, especially me being a person of faith, I just feel so blessed to be in this space, this positive space of support.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just happy that you have such a great of supporters, whether they are strangers or people you know from the Michigan area, and hopefully will be your extended new community in Cambridge in Boston.
Yes.
And this will go beyond the game. So one of the, you know, I know we were talking earlier and I mentioned how there's so many great educational programs all over, whether in Michigan or Massachusetts, but I was intrigued to find out what drew you to the fellowship at Harvard in particular.
The content of the work, the roles and responsibilities that I will have. So I'm becoming a program fellow with the Center for Public Interest Careers at Harvard. This means that I will be responsible for recruiting and interviewing students, both undergraduate students and graduate students, for internships and fellowships. In the past, I've done a legislative internship with U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, who represents Michigan, as well as a legislative internship with the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Judiciary under Ranking Member John Tyers, who represents Detroit, Michigan. And so I recognize what it feels like to be that person who's applying for internships, how it feels to transition into an internship, a new work environment, a new city in most cases for some students who travel for their internships. So I wanted to be a support person in that space. And then also, you know, some of my other responsibilities include hosting campus events, engaging with the student population. That's something that I feel passionately about. It's something that I've done in the past and in my current role as a program assistant with TRIO Student Support Services at Michigan State University. And another role that really excited me about this office is that I'll have the opportunity to administer a mentor program where students who have previously done internships or fellowships with our office will support new students who are incoming into this process. And I think all three of those things, all three of those responsibilities really drew me to this specific opportunity rather than other opportunities. But I will say that the staff members in the Center for Public Interest Careers are very supportive. One staff member I don't even know how she found out about the GoFundMe. I didn't send any email, but she supported me. She, you know, she was willing to give, and she posted a very thoughtful message on my wall. And me and her have talked about that, and I think that coming into this work environment and knowing that the staff members support me and understand my experience and are valuing me as a representative of their office, that makes me feel like this is going to be a really enriching experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really great. And I think having that, it kind of reminded me of, we have this program in the city called the Posse program here.
Oh,
where
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah, So it's so cool because it's almost like you coming here, but it's like you have a posse in Michigan and you have a posse in Cambridge and Boston, and you have people, and that's what's really going to keep you through. We also talked about sort of, you know, getting the fellowship. Okay, this is like round one, but making sure that you stay in, that you successful while you're in there, and that you continue to get the support you need in order to make it through. Because sometimes it's like surviving and finishing is sometimes the hardest program, especially when we talk about students of color and the experiences and access to higher education or certain programs. And so a lot of time I don't really know what's in place to make sure that certain challenges that you may face are addressed, and that you have someone you can sort of go to help you when you kind of face those, you know, those challenges when you do get there.
And I'm glad you brought it up because it's a serious issue, right? So Trio Student Support Services, we're one of 8 national programs like Gear Up and Upper Bound that support low-income first-generation college students. And we support students from the collegiate level, but Upper Bound and Gear Up support students prior to coming to college. And so we're a federally funded program, and, you know, we do exactly what you brought up. We meet students where they're at and address those challenges. You know, students who don't come from homes where their parents, as we say at MSU, their parents don't speak college. Their parents aren't familiar with, you know,
their language.
You know, they don't know about the admissions process and how to be successful in the habits that students need in order to thrive in that academic environment. So programs like TRIO and programs like Upper Bound and Gear Up really help to transition students and build that bridge.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are great resources to have. So we've been talking a lot about studying and getting in here. I'm hoping between all that stuff, like, you still have time to sort of relax. Do you do anything besides studying and prepping for higher education? What do, just to relax and sort of clear your head?
Well, I really enjoy working out. That doesn't sound like much fun.
I know.
I really enjoy the outdoors when it's warm. So Michigan has cold winters, just like Boston, right? So I only get to do that a few months out of the year. I'm a family oriented person. So I spend a lot of my time, even though it might not feel like it, a lot of my free time, I'm usually on the phone with one of my sisters and my mom, or sometimes my dad. I have 3 sisters, so we're kind of like this very tight-knit. Yeah, there's like the 4 of us, so we're like, you know, I always tell my little sisters if they're having issues with one of their girlfriends, I'm like, you don't even need friends. You have sisters, so you don't have to worry about that. Like, we're good. We're together. So when I do have free time, you know, I talk with my family. I work out. I read. But, you know, I also like museums. I like, you know, theater. I like museums. I love jazz concerts. I like things like that when they're available and accessible to you. So.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff. I wanted to let you know some of your supporters are retweeting this on Twitter. So I saw Josh, who's one of your supporters, retweeting the posting. So you have a lot of great supporters. Anything you want to say to all the people so far, all your donors on GoFundMe? You have a lot of great friends out there.
Thank you.
Anything you want to say to them?
Definitely. So, first of all, thank you for your positive gestures, for your choice to help me sustain my goal. But more importantly, I want you to understand that, you know, many of you may know, some of you may not, throughout my career, throughout my undergraduate studies, throughout my life, I've been dedicated to youth mentorship, I've been dedicated to policy advocacy, and I've been dedicated to social justice. So I want you to understand that this investment is an investment in social justice. This is an investment for the youth, because I know that I will sustain my commitment to you, which is to continue on with a career advocating for policies, organizing communities, and sustaining service that will improve the current conditions for people like myself who might come from low-income communities, whose parents may not have had the opportunity to go to college yet. That's my goal. My goal is to carry on the legacy of those before me and be a torchbearer of social justice.
So I hope, I know they're listening and hearing you. And, of course, the campaign is not over. You have 11 days left, and people still have a chance to come over and support
yes.
you, check out the page. Do you want to tell them where to go?
So you can go to GoFundMe.com/CWoods2Harvard. CWoods2Harvard. HARVARD.
And right now, anything you can give is appreciated. And I'm glad you're keeping up the page and people can learn about you, why they're supporting you. And hopefully the campaign will still be happening when you come over next weekend, which I can't believe it. Friday is the big day.
I know.
That you're
going
to. You're like, don't remind me. It's like so soon. But there's still plenty of time, and that's the beauty of,
sure.
you know, online campaign, because people can support you wherever they are, whether they're in Massachusetts or not. One of the things we talked about is you have such a sort of diverse and versatile background in terms of, you know, you've done work on Capitol Hill, you've done work within student support in academia, in your community, within your church. It's sort of like an interesting blend of sort of doing community work, but at the same time, really understanding sort of the root cause of some of the social issues you're interested in.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to sort of, a lot of time people are very linear when they study certain things. Like they may study one thing and then they, like how, I don't know how you have such a interesting mix of interests that you're pursuing sort of with. I don't know how to, you know, a lot of time because you are encouraged to sort of like specialize, and technically you will
right.
specialize in something. You have such a range of interests. Is it something you've done on purpose, or is it sort of by accident you're kind of discovering all the stuff you're interested in?
I think it is on purpose. I think that my overall career goal is very, it's broad within academia, and it's broad within the professional environment, because I think that, honestly, we're not innovative enough, right? But in my mind, my goal is very narrow. So when I was interning on the Hill, when we were looking to push forward a policy, when we were looking to address an issue, we would call in experts, and the experts were professors. So, for example, when I was working with the Judiciary Committee, we went to a congressional briefing on law enforcement accountability. It featured a professor who worked on unconscious bias and stereotypes. So I recognized that I could be in a space of student support, community activism, and policy advocacy through a professorship. And I realized that I could be very engaged and enriched in my community by being a professor, by conducting research and informing policy that way, and being an innovator in that way. And so, and to some people, because maybe they don't understand, you know, that this is realistic and that people actually do it, it seems, it might seem like broad or challenging. You know, people, like you said, they want you to specialize in one thing, or they push you towards a very narrow career path. But for what I'm hoping to achieve, I know that this is exactly what I need to do. You know, you think about people like, I mean, I'm not comparing myself to him, but President Barack Obama, right? He was a professor. He was a lawyer. He was a teacher. And then he was a legislator, and then he was in the executive office. So, you know, these things happen all the time. Like Judy Chu, Congresswoman Judy Chu, she has a PhD. You know, people do this all the time, but I think that sometimes when you might go to people and say, hey, I'm doing this, this, and that, they feel discouraged because they don't know your capacity. But I understand my capacity. And so when I work in student support, I remind students of their capacity. And I tell them, you don't have to take this. This is just the only path for you. You can create your own path. You can look into other paths. But either way, you can still get to your same end point. You don't have to be narrow in your dreams. You can be broad in your dreams. You can be adventurous in your dreams.
I think that's a great thing. I feel like you just took such a leap of faith, for lack of a better word. But I mean, I think it's great sort of when you know what your purpose is, whether it's educationally or socially. But at the same time, even if you're not sure, like I'm hoping you will inspire
right.
other students
right.
to sort of, you know, sometimes just hearing somebody else share the experiences or sort of knowing will give them some inkling. Like you don't need to know everything. Like I know we talked about I know you see yourself where you're going to be in 10 years. You seem, you're very clear in terms of what you want to get done. But at the same time, I think you're exposed to so many things, which, who knows, you know, like 10 years from now could be very different. So where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years? This is like the big questions you get when you go in there.
Well, I see myself as a professor. I see myself as a mother. I see myself as an aunt. And I see myself conducting research in gun violence and mass incarceration. And I see myself informing policy as an expert on gun violence and mass incarceration. I see myself being active in my community and working with nonprofit organizations to reduce the amount of youth, particularly minority youth, black and brown youth, who are being flooded into the prison industrial complex. I see myself addressing the issues involving gun violence that are occurring in low-income communities. So I like that you brought this up because it kind of goes back to the last question where I see myself doing research as a professor on these topics. I see myself informing policies on these topics with legislators, and I see myself in the community supporting the youth who are actually dealing with these issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting because you sort of like, you're in the field, you're at the front line, but at the same time, you're going to be informing others who may not necessarily know about those. I mean, they may know about these issues in terms of, you know, from a policy perspective or from reading about it or watching it on TV necessarily. But I think it's great that you have the firsthand experience and you've been out face-to-face with people dealing with those issues. And then you're going to also do the research for sort of like another population who may not necessarily know. And so they're going to know about it by reading a brief or by reading a report or, but I think blending that in terms of being in academia, being in the community and still working with, you know, people from different parts of those issues is really important because it's really rare to be able to do all of it. You know, either you do one or you do the other, but being able to sort of have that interdisciplinary approach to solving an issue, I think that's really, that's really important. And it doesn't happen often enough.
Thank you.
So remind people to go to www.gofundme.com/seawoodstoharvard. And this is where you're going to learn more about Courtney, what she's doing. And there's still a chance for you to make your own donation directly on the website. So any final words? We talked about anything that sort of inspire you because you're doing a lot of amazing things. And I asked you earlier if you had any, I'm sure you have many favorite quotes, but if there is like a quote that sort of gets you through the day or keep you motivated as you pursuing your goals. Hard to choose, huh?
There's so many. I spend a lot of my time in reflection. I reflect a lot. Some of my friends think I'm crazy because I'll text them or call them after I said something earlier in the day and say, hey, how do you feel about this? Or do you remember when this happened? They're like, you're still thinking about that? So instead of giving a quote, what I would traditionally give is a scripture, but I'll give you something better. I'll encourage the listeners to take time to reflect and take time to read, whether it be scripture or just positive readings about life, any Martin Luther King speeches, any Malcolm X speeches. I encourage you to read At the Dark End of the Street. I encourage you to read The New Jim Crow. And so for me, I think that's better. Yeah, I know, right? The New Jim Crow.
That's a good one.
That's deep. Right? That's deep. But instead of giving you quotes, I'm going to encourage you to read on your own and reflect and decide, you know, what quotes and what readings speak the most to you.
Those are good advice. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm hoping we'll connect when you come to Boston and Cambridge.
We will.
You have a lot of great supporters. I want to personally thank all your supporters on the GoFundMe campaign. Special thanks to Michelle Vitale from Michigan, but also from Boston, who's spreading the word. She's on Facebook right now just posting the interview and making sure people know about it. So I'm hoping you'll come back again. Let us know how you're doing. And I'm going to close the program. I mentioned to you Women of the World, which is a great global group of women from the Boston area. So you get to hear this beautiful song called Pretty Sorrow, which is an a cappella group. So good luck with everything, and hopefully we'll get to meet when you're in Boston. And so here's Pretty Sorrow from Women of the World. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great weekend.
Down in some long valley, in some lonesome place, where the wild birds do tarry and their notes do increase. Farewell, pretty song. I bid you adieu, and I'll dream of pretty sorrow wherever I go. My love, she won't have me, so she wants a freeholder, and I have no land. I cannot maintain her on silver or gold, nor by your fine things. If I were a merchant and could ride my hand, I'd write my love a letter so she'd understand. So I wander by the river where the waters overflow, and I'll dream of pretty sorrow wherever I go. Yeah.